Thanks to all of you for coming out this Sunday evening in Spanish Fork, Utah. By your comments, correspondence, and feedback, by emails at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. Couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Agyanati Marandasya Ganangana Salakya Chaksurin Miritam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stavitam Yena Bhutare Sayam Rupa Karamayam Dirati Swaparantikam. Our topic this evening is Stay Open. We want to talk to you about trusting God to do things His way. Now, we all have dreams that we're believing in and situations that we want to see turn around, but too often we put God into a little box and we tell Him how to do it. We tell Him when we want it done. Tell Him who we want Him to use to get it done. Now, the only problem with that is that God's ways, or Krishna's, our name for God, are not our ways. God doesn't always do things in the logical way. Lord Krishna uses unorthodox methods. He's unconventional. Just look at him there. He's got a peacock feather stuck in his hair, flute to his lips, and he's got this mischievous twinkle in his eye. Am I wrong? How he operates may not always make sense to our mundane, logical minds. Here it is said, God's way is better than your way. His plan is bigger than your plan. His dream for your life is more rewarding, more fulfilling, better than you ever dreamed. Now stay open, which is the subject of our talk, and let God do it His way. If you have these preconceived notions of how you're going to be promoted, how you're going to get well, that's going to limit what Krishna or God can do in your life. You have to stay open. Let God out of the box. You may only see one way that it can happen. It seems so obvious to you. You work hard, 9 to 5, 5 days a week. You get that promotion that you deserve, and then you have the funds to accomplish your dreams. You've worked at that company for 20 years. You deserve it, but for no reason that you can logically figure, you don't get the promotion. You don't get the increase in salary. If you're not careful at this point, you're going to get discouraged and start thinking, it's never going to happen. I missed my opportunity. Krishna, it's not fair. Did you ever hear the story about the military leaders in the early days of computers? They succeeded in building a supercomputer that was able to solve purportedly any problem, large or small, strategic or tactical. These military leaders assembled in front of the new machine for a demonstration, and the engineer conducting the demonstration instructed these officers to feed a very difficult, complicated tactical problem into the machine. The military leaders proceeded to describe a hypothetical situation to the computer and then asked the pivotal question, attack or retreat? The enormous computer hummed away for an hour and then printed out its answer, yes. The generals looked at each other, somewhat stupefied. Finally, one of them submitted a second request to the computer, yes, what? This time, the computer responded instantly, yes, sir. What's the moral of this story? Sometimes God will close a door on purpose because He has something much better in front of you. Just because it's the logical way doesn't mean it's the Lord's way. Just because it happened that way before doesn't mean it's going to happen that way next time. Stay open. If you're narrow-minded, you can miss God's best for you. Our attitude should be, Krishna, I'm letting you out of the box today. You can do anything in my life. You can do it anytime. You can use any person that you want. God or Krishna, I'm going to trust you to do it your way. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Things may not work as you planned them. Krishna may not use the people that you were expecting. It may not happen on your timetable, but that's what faith is all about. Krishna, I trust you. You know what's best for me. You know what I need. You know when I need it, and you know who I need. William Cowper was an English poem and hymn writer. He'd studied law and he was admitted to the bar in 1754 in England. Strangely enough, he never practiced law. He was shy, gentle by nature, not emotionally equipped to deal with the stress and strain associated with the legal profession. In fact, he suffered intense fits of melancholy and spiritual despair. Story goes that one evening, he summoned a horse-drawn London cabbie and directed the cabbie to drive him to the Thames River. A heavy fog blanketed the city, and for more than an hour, this cabbie, who you've got to realize is totally familiar with the grid of London, nevertheless, he could not find the river that runs right through the middle of London. Little did the driver know that his noticeably impatient passenger had resolved to solve his problems by committing suicide, plunging into a watery grave. So Cowper had weighed everything in the balance. Life no longer seemed worth the bother. He got angry and upset and impatient by the delay, anxious to get on with his plan. So he lunged for the cab and he set out on his own to find the river. He wandered and groped around for what seemed like an eternity. Finally, he discovered himself standing at his own doorstep. Coincidence? Well, apparently not in Cowper's judgment. He went directly to his room, took up pen and paper, and wrote the words to this familiar hymn. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his never-failing will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are full with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfurling every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Some of you today, perhaps, are a little discouraged because things haven't in your life worked out the way you planned. Let's encourage you to take another look. Maybe the Lord has actually answered your prayers, but not in the way that you thought. Or another possibility is that maybe what you're asking for was not God's best for you, and he loves you too much to answer that prayer. Maybe Lord Krishna's got something better lined up to you because you're so set in making it happen your way that you're not recognizing the better option that he's sending your way. There's a story from the Sufi religion underlines this point. Nasruddin was a little man who every day would hitch a donkey to a wagon filled with straw and drive it to the border separating his country from the neighboring country. The border guards would search the wagon before letting him cross. They were sure that he was smuggling something, but they could never find it. Each day, the pattern would be repeated. The wagon would be searched. Sometimes the straw would be tossed in the air, but they never could find anything. Every day for years, they had to let him cross. Now, he got wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. Finally, he decided he had enough money. He announced his retirement, and he threw a party for the border guards. At the party, they said, Nasruddin, we know you've been smuggling something for all these years, but we haven't been able to catch you. Now that you're retiring, tell us what you've been smuggling. Can anyone guess? He smiled and he said, donkeys. Maybe something similar happens to you when you go to the church or the temple, the mosque every Sunday. Most people don't recognize what might be right in front of them. They're counting the minutes until the service is ended so they can go out and get something to eat, or they're checking their cell phones every 2 minutes. Now, a few people are exhilarated to be in the house of the Lord with his devotees, to hear his names glorified in song and dance, to hear the topics of the lectures. God and the spiritual world are accessible through the funnel that's the temple or the church or the synagogue or the mosque. Now, one reason that more of us don't have life-changing encounters with the Lord is not because God's not there at work. It's because our eyes and our ears have not been sufficiently open. Part of the problem is that we develop expectations as to where God will appear and how he'll speak. And so we fail to look and listen anywhere else. We may be so fixed on the miraculous and the extraordinary that we fail to see God in the commonplace. Then what I'm saying is that if we want to see the hand of God at work, if we want to hear the voice of God, then we have to look everywhere. We have to stay open. We must listen to everything. God is a God of surprises. He's unpredictable. He's a prankster. He's even, you might say, mischievous. He goes where he pleases. He does what he pleases, what he chooses. He speaks where and how he wants. But it's always for our good. We're his loving children, and he wants the best for us. Now, we've got to get our antennas up and consider the possibility that wherever we are, in every moment of every day, Krishna, God, is there, and he's at work. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Sarvata pariparam tat sarvata sutimalake sarvamrita tishtati. His hands and legs are everywhere. His mouth and faces are everywhere. He hears and sees everything. In a book called Chicken Soup of the Soul, we find this story which illustrates our point. The narrator says, I looked across the room and my heart froze. There, lined up with the other inmates against the wall, was a younger version of my recently deceased father. It was so uncanny that my husband, who was standing next to me, said, do you see that guy across the room who looks so much like your father? It's actually creepy. Outwardly, it looked calm, but inside, I was shaking. My childhood left much to be desired. My father was not the father either of us would have liked. Before his death, we'd had a talk, and he'd given me the gift of an apology. Yet some or other, I felt there had not been closure before his death. How do I get myself in these fixes? Here I was committing to a weekend retreat in this prison with my husband and 25 other prisoners. Get a grip, I kept telling myself. Finally, I just decided to avoid this man all weekend. I can do that. It's a big room, lots of people, no problem. Just keep plenty of space between me and him and I'll be fine. Well, I was snapped out of my mental agreement with myself when I heard my name called. The leader of table 6, Mary Richelski, right to her left, Richard, the guy, right? So I managed to weave my way to the table, not making eye contact with him. Hello, my name is Richard, he said. I turned to look into the watery blue-gray eyes of the younger version of my father. The man not only looked like my father, but he sounded like him. Same mannerisms, same way of combing his hair, same big words used out of context like my father. He even wore the same aftershave. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Or does he? This man was like my father in almost every way, except that instead of making me feel stupid when I said something, he acted like I was the most brilliant woman on the planet. He validated everything I said and did. He laughed at my jokes. He went and got me snacks. He held my chair and never once made me feel shamed. After the initial shock, I could see that he wasn't exactly like my father. But the similarities were uncanny. And one of the most beautiful exercises of the weekend was the foot washing. In ancient times, people used to welcome a traveler to their home by washing their feet. I had just taken the place of someone who had been kneeling on the floor, washing the feet of others, when I looked up to see the next person who sat down. You guessed it. It was Richard. Except this time, it wasn't Richard. It was my father. I started to cry. I was truly washing my father's feet with my tears. This was my chance to tell him that I love him, I forgive him, and that he can now go in peace. When I looked up again, he was crying too. But he had such a look of pure peace on his face. And then just as quickly, it was Richard again. At night, back at home, I couldn't sleep. And so I wrote Richard a long letter telling him all about my childhood, just what had happened that evening and why it probably seemed to him that I must have been acting strangely that weekend. And only after writing the letter was I able to sleep. The next morning, I received clearance from the chaplain to give Richard the letter. And to my surprise, he had spent several hours the night before writing me a letter. He asked that I wait until I returned home to read it. This is in part what he wrote. "Dear Mary, I almost didn't go through with a foot washing exercise. I didn't feel worthy. So before sitting down, I asked God for a sign to show me that he could forgive me for all the terrible things I've done in my life, many of which I've shared with you in this letter. And when I looked down into your face, you were crying. I thought that was my sign. And when your tears touched my feet, I felt the love of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Our question to you today is, are you open for Lord Krishna to use a new method or a stranger to bring your dreams to pass? What if Krishna answers your prayers differently than you were expecting? What if he doesn't use the people that you thought he would use? Are you going to stay open and say, "Krishna, I trust you. Do it your way"? Or are you going to keep God in a box and miss your miracle? If you're going to reach your highest potential, you have to stay open, not get stuck in a rut. God is an out-of-the-box God. His plan for your life will not always be logical or reasonable or what you had planned. However, if you stay open, it's going to be much bigger, much better, and much more rewarding than you could ever have imagined. Lord Krishna wants to thrust you to new levels. He wants to not only bring you out of that difficulty, but to catapult you to higher levels. He wants to open doors for you that no one can shut. You have not reached the surface of what God has in store. However, this is the key. It's not going to happen by traditional means. It's not going to happen by logical ways. It's going to be supernatural. That way, Krishna or God will get all the credit. No one will be able to doubt God's hand of favor and blessings on your life. Now again, don't limit him by thinking it can only happen this way or that way. God has a thousand ways to do it. The question is, when those ways show up, are you going to be open and say, "Krishna, this isn't what I planned. This isn't what I expecting. This isn't the person I thought you would use. But Lord Krishna, you know what's best for me. You've opened this door. Now I'm going to do my part and walk through it." Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You may be criticized. People may find fault. They may not understand you, but you've got to be more interested in what Krishna says than what people say. There'll always be people who try to squeeze you into their mold and tell you that you're not enough of this or not enough of that, or you're too much of this. They're not that talented. You're not that qualified. Let that go in one ear and out the other. You're not who people say you are. You are who God says you are. Some of you have God today in a little bitty box. You don't see how God could ever send your children to college. You don't see how you could ever start that mission or that charity. You don't see how you could ever get out of debt, how you could build that temple, how you could accomplish your dreams. Listen, God is an all-powerful God. Your job is not your source. The economy is not your source. The government is not your source. Your boss is not your source. God or Krishna is your source. As long as you stay connected to him, your supply line, everything's going to be fine. He's the provider. Eko Bahunam Yovidadati. Come on. That one singular, eternal, omnipotent living being provides all the plural beings in millions of universes with every necessity of life. Now, our job is not to get stuck into a rut, not to be narrow-minded and miss what God wants to do. I'd love to tell you that God is always going to do it your way, but it's not reality. I can promise you, however, that whatever way God does it is going to be the best way, even if you don't understand it. Even if it doesn't seem fair, God knows what he's doing. We're asking you today to trust him. Quit being frustrated because it didn't work out your way. Some of you would enjoy life a whole lot more if you would put those dreams on the altar and say, Krishna or God, I'm tired of fighting it. I'm tired of forcing it to happen. I'm tired of living frustrated. Lord, I trust you, knowing that at the right time, your plan for my life will come to pass. Young Robert Schuller says that when he was 10 years old, he used to hold a honeybee by its wings and press it against a moist piece of cloth. The bee would sting the cloth, and then he would remove its stinger. Later, he would let the bee crawl over his arms and face and neck, and the girls at school would say, oh, they couldn't believe that he was so brave. Of course, they didn't know that it's easy to be peaceful when there's no sting involved. Similarly, it's easy to be peaceful when you're not the doer. It's easy to be peaceful when you're not playing God. It's easy to be peaceful when you allow God to use you as the instrument that he created you to be. It says in Scripture, delight yourself in the Lord. God will give you the desires of your heart. When you're trusting God to do it his way, there's a peace. There's a fearlessness. You're not struggling, you're not fighting, you're not upset, you're at peace. You know that God's way is the best way so that you can relax and enjoy your life while God is in the process of bringing those promises to pass. He knows what he's doing. Let him do it his way. You may not understand it at the time. It may not make sense, but one day you'll see what he was doing and that his plan is better than your plan. When I look back on my life, and I'm not going to give all the back stories, but when I look back on my life, I thought I'd never encounter genuine Indian spirituality in Australia. I'd already been to India, big goose egg, got the connections I made in Australia of all places. When I was living at the Hare Krishna Temple in San Francisco for 3 years, and later on in Los Angeles Temple for 10 years, I never thought I would end up in Utah of all places. I never thought that when we moved to Utah to start the radio station, 1480, his tower's right blinking over there, that we would end up building not one but two temples. Now, the common denominator in all of my I thoughts is that God's plan was better than my plan. I'm a testimony. What he had in mind was much bigger, much more rewarding than anything I ever dreamed of. So I'm asking you to trust him. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Winding up here. Writer Charles Schwindel once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He got nervous and tense. While he was in this stressful situation, he found himself being a little curt with his wife and children, choking down his food at meal times, and feeling irritated every time there was an unexpected interruption in his day. He recalls in his book, Stress Fractures, that before long, things around the home started reflecting the pattern of his hurry-up lifestyle. He said the situation is becoming unbearable. And then it happened. After supper one evening, his younger daughter, Colleen, wanted to tell him something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly talking, Daddy, I want to tell you something. I'll tell you really fast. Suddenly, Swindle, realizing her frustration, which was because of him, he said, honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly. And he writes in the book, he never forgot her answer. Her answer says, you listen slowly. Can you hear God or Lord Krishna's voice saying to you tonight, slow down. Don't be so quick to move things your way, to shape the world as you see it. Don't be so quick to climb the corporate ladder, so quick to join the rat pack, and so quick to be number one. Don't try to beat your colleagues to the first position. Slow down. Lord says, I'm showing you another way. I'm showing you another world, another kingdom. If you will simply listen slowly and stay open. Our attitude should be, Krishna, I'm wide open. Do anything you want, anytime you want, use anyone you want. I'm not set on having it my own way. God, I know your plan is the best plan. If you'll stay open and let Lord Krishna do it, God will open doors for you that no man can shut. His favor will thrust you years ahead. You'll see promises fulfilled, dreams come true. You'll overcome every obstacle, defeat every enemy, become everything that God has created you to be in this life. And next life, you'll go back to home, back to Godhead.